All right, guys, it's time for the Next Level Guy Show, a men's interview, interest, and improvement-focused podcast featuring interviews with the greats from all industries to help you better your life. Each week, a new episode features an interview with one of the greats, covering all aspects of their story, from life hacks to tips and protocols that have allowed them to live life on the next level. We then highlight concrete action steps that you can use to improve your life. And now, your host, Ian Dawson McKay.
And today's guest is Jennifer Cohen. Jennifer is an entrepreneur, podcaster, educator, and best-selling author. Her latest book, Bigger, Better, Bolder, hit number one in business on Amazon and the Wall Street Journal best-selling list. Her book explains why boldness is a superpower and an untapped skill that can change your life to a level you didn't even know was possible right now. She's been a long-time authority in health and wellness, where she's co-founded numerous companies, including No Gym Required and Hot 5, which was acquired by Weight Watchers. Jennifer has well-established expertise and experience in branding and non-traditional marketing, working as a spokesman and advisor to some of the best-known companies today. Her podcast, Habits and Hustle, is regularly ranked in the top 10 business podcasts in the world on Amazon and Apple Podcasts, and is widely regarded for helping thousands of people with their wellness and productivity. Previous guests have included Mark Cuban, Simon Sinek, Matthew McConaughey, Chelsea Handler, Tony Robbins, and many more. Jennifer is also an in-demand motivational speaker for a range of companies as well as business schools, and her TEDx talk has more than 7 million views on YouTube. She lives in Los Angeles with her husband and their two little superstars, Dylan and Sydney. And in this interview, we discuss how boldness is a superpower to getting the life you want, the principles for success, the power of accumulating small wins, how to start changing your life right now, and so much more. And now, let's get to the interview. Well, thank you so much for coming on. Now, if you had 30 seconds between a lift floor to introduce yourself, what would you say to somebody if you had to explain who you were and why you're so well known?
I wouldn't say I was so well known. I would say that if I had to introduce myself, that's interesting. Like, I always get very flustered with this whole idea of having an elevator pitch, because if you need to kind of explain who you are in, let's say, 10 seconds or less, or people don't know, you lose people's attention. That's my biggest thing, because I've zigzagged my whole life and I really don't have one thing that I consider myself. So, but just to kind of answer your question, I would say now I'm somebody who attempts to teach people to do things tomorrow that they don't have the courage to do today.
I love it. Now, you've recently brought out your brand new book. I started reading it and I loved the way that you write, like Brian Tracy, a lot of like short snippet hit, you know, paragraphs, very thought-provoking questions. You really make people think and think, well, why not me? Why not? Can I do these sorts of things? Why did you pick boldness though? Because you mentioned in the book about how you met a certain Mr. Reeves and that was your sort of awakening to boldness. Do you think that was the moment you thought boldness was a superpower?
Yes. Well, it's funny. I think boldness is a superpower, but it's one of the superpowers that anybody could get good at, right? So it's a superpower that everybody can have and do. And why I picked boldness is because I believe that boldness is the secret sauce to success. Boldness is way more important than how intelligent you are or how much experience you have. It's really about just having the courage, I guess, and the bravery for 10 seconds to do that thing or to do what you like, to say something, to ask for something, to move the needle a little bit. And in my experiences, my own life, people I've spoken to in my podcast and everything else, the through line that I feel that people have for true success is being bold, you know, not overthinking, just acting, you know. And, you know, we kind of get in our own way a lot of times. And if we can kind of figure out a way to not do those things and kind of act in boldness, the world opens up to us in so many ways.
Because you do mention in the book about how a lot of people are stuck on their own, you know, their own life, but it's been set by somebody else, you know, parents, by culture, by just societal demands. So yes. how do you find people get their own independence? Because you actually mentioned in there about it, you know, you went and plagued an Olive Garden manager for a job. You wouldn't settle for no. You just kept going and going until you got the decision you wanted. A lot of people won't do that. They'll settle for good enough, go home. Why do you think we let others, you know, why have we got a society where we're being controlled by other people's pathways? How do we reset?
I think that it's basically, if what you said is the reason why I've had success, right? Because most people don't even try, right? Like the idea is, and if most people don't even try, almost nobody tries twice. So if you're somebody who put yourself out there, you know, two or three times, just in terms of sheer numbers, you're going to win, right? So that in itself is not because of any kind of hidden talent, any hidden specialness. It's just the fact that, like, if you are somebody who just makes the attempts and puts yourself out there, your chances of success are that much greater. That's the first part. The second part, I guess, that is actually the answer to that, right? Like, I think that it's a question of just doing versus other people who don't. And I think most of us don't do it because we are so afraid of failing and what other people might think of us, or self-doubt. And at the end of the day, number one, no one cares enough to be even paying attention to you that long. So if that's one of your reasons for not attempting, you should, you know, eliminate that right away. The second thing is the self-doubt thing. The way to kind of get over self-doubt is to actually do things that create confidence within you. And that is through doing things, right? Like, you don't just become confident because you want to be or because you visualize. Visualization is not the answer. It's actually doing something. It's hard work. It's following through with what your intentions are, what you want to do. Those things build true confidence and self-esteem to propel you to do a bold move. So these are all steps. Like, to me, when you asked me earlier about why the word boldness, because to me, it's all about being bold first, right? Everything else follows. If you're bold enough to try something, that compounds over time, and the accumulation creates self-confidence to know that you can try, and if you fail, it doesn't matter, you can get back up again. And if you succeed, even better. And those successes, those little successes, build confidence, real true confidence, to attempt again. Also, in failing, in the failure is where you learn resilience. And the more you do it, the more you fail. Failure becomes kind of, you become desensitized to that feeling. So it doesn't stop you from doing it again. So in my book, I talk about this idea of this whole 10% target, which is making 10 attempts at whatever it is you want most. And the idea behind that is twofold. First is you, like I said earlier, you putting yourself out there and making more than one attempt puts you so much further ahead of everyone else, because most people don't even make any attempts. The second thing, it's teaching you and building your resilience, right? Because if you fail, right, once, and you know you're going to fail, you got to get back up to try 9 more times. In that process, it becomes you become desensitized, and it doesn't sting as much, right? With anything in life, right? Like, the more you hear the word no, it doesn't bother you as much to kind of get no again, right? But it's like the first time is always the hardest. It's the most shocking. It's the most difficult. Then eventually, it becomes your, you know, it becomes very much like part of the process. So that's why I believe that people need to work this 10% target to get comfortable with failure, to learn how to be more resilient, and to try to get the things that they really want. And that's the purpose of the book, really.
So why not good enough? You know, like, because you were in the book, you talk the story about when you were called average at best at school and how that lit this fire under you to prove everybody wrong and be this badass and, you know, write the books and do all the amazing stuff you've done. How do we get people to find their own tipping point? Because a lot of people will sit and suffer a crappy job, will sit and suffer in a crappy relationship because it's not that painful enough yet. How do you motivate that? Because I turned 40 recently and you realize you're very, very close. You're the second half of your life, shall we say, the memento mori. Realize you're going to die. How do you make people realize, do it now, or you're suddenly going to live with regret? Because you mentioned in the book how rejection is much easier to recover from than regret. That blew I love that. But how do we make people realize you can't live in a pub? There's so much.
You can't. Well, you know what? You can take a horse to water, but you can't make it drink, right? Hmm. People always ask me questions like, well, how do you find motivation? Or how do you get somebody to do A, B, or C, right? And the truth is, the hard truth really is, I can't. If you, the person, you, the reader, aren't interested in doing it, there's only so much I can do to motivate you beyond a certain point, right? So everybody has their own reasons of why, number one. And number two, you know, there are people who are okay with living okay. And then this book isn't for you. And this life that I'm trying to help you build is not really geared to you, right? This is something that's geared to people who have enough self-awareness in what they're in their life to realize where they're not living fully, where they're not feeling satisfied, where they feel like the good enough, as we just said, is not good enough, and they're sick and tired of it, and they want to chase the life they actually want and not just take the life that they got. And that's where it becomes, that's what it really it boils down to. Like, do you want to chase the life that you actually want? Or are you okay accepting and acquiescing to whatever life gives you? I personally wasn't okay and not ever will be okay with just accepting, it's fine. To me, that's like, to your point, we go around this world one time. And when you're turning 40, 50, whatever it is, and you have that moment and you realize like, oh my gosh, like this is it, right? That's the time when you should be like, okay, you know what? Like I want more. How do I get more? This is really how. And I guess the good news is that, you know, the roadmap to get there is very simple, and it's anybody can do it, and it's quite easy. You don't have to be someone who was born bold. It's a fallacy and a myth to believe that either you're born this way or you're not. Like, the reality and truth is anyone could become more bold if they want to be. And what it takes is practice. Like, if you want to get good at, you know, soccer, football, Spanish, whatever it is that you're trying to like get good at, dancing, whatever, acrobatic, whatever. What do people do? They practice. They practice daily. They do little things over and over and over again to get better and better. And that's the same thing with being bold. You practice the skill of being bold. Boldness to me is a skill. You don't have, like I said, it's not a personality trait. Yeah, it could be. Some people are a little bit more bold than others naturally, but it's also a skill that you can really harness and get better and better at. And quite frankly, it's also one of those things where if you don't work it, like if you go to the gym and go to the gym twice, you're not going to be fit. You're not fit forever because you strength train twice. It's something that you have to do consistently and maintain it regularly. Just like being bold, you have to practice that muscle of boldness daily, at least, you know, three times a week, right? You have to like practice it to get better at it and to strengthen it. And like I said, it's a muscle. Like anything else, you get better with doing these little things. And if you if you're not comfortable asking for the small things in life, then there's no way you're going to get comfortable asking for the big things in life. And at the end of the day, it is the squeaky wheel that gets the oil. And that is just the reality of it.
Because it's definitely a book that's needed, you know, because so many people are happy just getting by, you know, the meh, the good enough, whereas you're actually showing people how you can start chasing your dreams. But how do we know what's a bold action? You know, what's a bold lifestyle look like? How do we know we're not going by ego, by fear, by, you know, the old negative programming? How do you know that this is actually, you're starting on your bold journey and making it a lifestyle?
Well, I think the first part is knowing where you're uncomfortable, right? Wherever you're uncomfortable asking for something, that's where you should start, right? So like if you're a person who doesn't want to make waves, doesn't want to, you know, you don't want to speak out of turn, you don't want to be offensive, you don't want to do this, you don't want to do that, and therefore you act accordingly, that's the first step. Like I go out to, you know, I say this in my TED talk and I get teased about it to this day, right? But like when I go out to eat for dinner, when I go for a dinner and like I use the menu as like a place where I see all the different ingredients that people have on the menu, like all the different ingredients the restaurant has. And so like I'll say, can I please get this instead of that? Can I substitute that? Can I get the dressing on the side? And sometimes, and if you're polite and nice, anyone will do anything if you're nice and polite, right? But a lot of my friends would be mortified, but yet then I get the meal that I want and they get the meal that they don't want. And then they're, you know, they wish they would have done what I did so then they can be happy, right? So that's the first step. It's like, you know what, like, Start small. Start like asking for the salad dressing on the side or extra whatever it is on your meal or whatever. Like use the restaurant and the menu as a beginning point, right? Because like I said, if these are things that make you naturally uncomfortable, start standing up for yourself in small little ways, right? Like maybe call the cell service provider and see if there's a better plan for your cell phone to save money. You can go to the local coffee shops and ask if there's any local discounts for people who live in the neighborhood. Like people don't know what they don't know. And if you don't ask, you don't get. So if anything, just start asking for these little things that would otherwise would make you uncomfortable or you would shy away from. And that builds your bold. And then once you see a return on that investment, like, oh, actually, look at that. They have a 10% discount. Or like, look at that. I did get the salad dressing on the side and they did substitute that. Like once you see that your ask actually comes to fruition, it kind of like gives you a little bit more like oomph to ask again.
But how then do we take these actions from ad hoc actions to creating a bold lifestyle? Because I used to always say to people, you know, if you're dealing with social anxiety, speak to the cashier. Yeah, how's your day? You don't need anything else, but there's your money. But build up and build up. Speak to everybody. Use it as an opportunity to be social. But in like principle six, you talk about how limbic friction occurs, how people are, you know, your old programming wants to take back over, keep you in the comfort zone. How do we stop ourselves not getting pulled back? How do we start this? Is it just compounding the small wins, just pushing and pushing them? Like you're saying, asking for the dressing to be removed, you know, asking the cashier for something you don't need, but just a chance to be a bit more bolder. How do we turn these from ad hoc actions into a newer version of us, more confidence, a bigger comfort zone?
Well, I think what happens a lot of times is that how we actually change the neuroplasticity in our brains, right, is by doing something over and over and over again, right? And that's the only way to do it. So you're asking me about limbic friction. It's 100% true, right? Because we'll always naturally gravitate to where we naturally feel most comfortable. But guess what? The more you do this type of bold action and bold move, that becomes your new comfort zone. That becomes your new normal if you do it enough times, right? Like the only way to build a habit or a new routine or a new ritual is to be doing it for enough time that it actually becomes it actually changes the way you act and your brain deals with it, right? So that's how I would say to do. You have to be able to do it enough. And that's why I say boldness is a muscle. It's not something that you do once or twice and then you're done for life. It's something that you have to consistently act upon over and over and over again. And that positive reinforcement comes from once you see the results of, you know, what you've put out there. Now, listen, the truth is you're not going to get everything you want by asking for it. Absolutely not. Like don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I think a lot of times we don't get what we want, but us putting ourselves in those positions where we at least stand up for ourselves and ask for it gives us a sense of satisfaction and confidence that we actually are trying and we're working towards the life doing the things that we need to kind of get the life that we want. Self-actualize is another way I like to put it. You know, like the reality is, when you mentioned this earlier, was I live by this principle of rejection versus regret. You know, I would much rather be rejected in anything, give it a salad dressing, a date, a job, than not ever even attempting. The regret is way worse because rejection, it stings for a moment. Yeah, you're unhappy, you're upset, but it eventually subsides pretty quickly, right? And you forget about it. But regret lives with you forever, right? Regret, like you'll always think like, what if, you know, what if I had tried that? What if I did do that? Like the what if, like they say that someone on their deathbed, you know, the biggest regret that people have is that they didn't live their ideal self. They didn't live up to their potential. They didn't make an attempt to do and live the life that they actually wanted to. So I think about those moments all the time and think I'll go for anything. I don't care about what if I get a no, a million no's, or if it doesn't work out. At least I know I can look at myself in the mirror and be like, you know what, Jennifer, at least you tried. You know, like at least you tried. Now there's never going to be that like, what if I did zig when I should have zagged? Like, that's why when you know, this idea of like, what would be my elevator pitch? I don't even know, because I never pigeonholed myself or put myself in a box of this is who I am, this is what I do, and that's it. Like, I'm always pushing an envelope or trying something that I have no business trying, with no experience trying, because the neuroplasticity in my brain has now become the idea of I don't want to regret not trying. Like some of my most biggest successes in life came from the things that I knew nothing about and I had no experience with, and with, you know, with a bunch of no's piled on, right? And then one day, boom, all the dots connected to that being a success down the road, because of all the people that said no to me, I met this one, I met that one. And then when it came my time to actually, you know, have an opportunity, it came from those failures or non-opportunities, right? Because nothing ever is in vain, in my opinion, right? Like a lot of my contacts I've met have been because of things that didn't work out. but they came around later on in a way I never even expected, because I always led with curiosity and naivety. And so I always thought, well, A, why not me? That's a huge philosophy of mine. Like, if it can happen to that person, why can't it happen to me? So I'm going to make an attempt. And asking a ton of questions, like always being interested. Being interested to me has always been way more important than being interesting. I'm always super curious about what people are doing, what they're doing, how they're doing it, what this is, what is that, because that's where opportunities really flourish. That's where you learn about things that you otherwise would never know about.
It's time for a quick break. There are millions of potential products to buy, so how do you know which ones are worth your hard-earned money? Simple. You go to nextlevelguy.com/affiliates and explore those that will transform and improve your life. You'll find deals, listener exclusives, and special offers with some great companies. Recommendations are 100% honest and only on items Ian has tried or believes in. The companies showcased will make you a better man in all areas of your life. Simply go to nextlevelguy.com/affiliates and level up.
No, it's a fantastic answer, because I think that's the problem, is a lot of people are sitting just now going, yeah, I'll try to be more bold. I'll try to do this, I'll try to do that. But how do you, because in normally I have a system. I want a, you know, goal setting. I want data metrics that I'm going to review, all this kind of jazz. But
in
the book, you talk about almost it's better to be naive almost. It's better to just go into it and, you know, and just go for it rather than analysis, paralysis, you know, and thinking about it. How do you actually people to get into it? You know, how do we make it a lifelong journey, this self-venture, rather than, well, I'm going to do this, this, and this. I want to do this review. And, you know, how do you make this sort of fluid thing where we're kind of seeing the change and growing and developing and looking back and going, fuck, I've gone so far. This is what I'm now going to do, and just keep like you were doing, how you just kept, I wonder what happens if I push this? What happens if I do that? What happens if I ask the festival to use their camera to record for my premiere video? You know, it's all these amazing things you did. How do you kind of just keep that motivation to be open and creative and just willing to learn? Because a lot of people are shut off. They don't have that gene or that kind of part of them. How would you get people to start doing that and not just sit and plan for decades and never do anything?
I think that people have to, like I said earlier, people need to want to, not want to live a life of meh or good enough. They have to want to have more. That's the first part. You can't force someone to want something that they don't want for themselves, right? And the second part is to create some type of plan for yourself. I mean, I'm not a big plan person necessarily. I believe in having a direction, not a destination. But I think the best, I hate the word motivation, but the best motivator is when people see themselves succeed. And how do they do that? And again, it's through momentum and action, right? Because I believe that action drives momentum. Something in motion stays in motion. Something stagnant stays stagnant. So the stop is in the start. Someone has to start the process. Start doing little things to be bold. So figure out one thing that you want. Pick one goal. I think that's the start. Pick one thing that you want and then make 10 attempts at whatever it is. And that's where you begin. And you may, like I say, you may not get that one thing, but in that process, another opportunity will present itself that you never even knew existed by going down that path. And you will get much more comfortable with that idea of not getting the failure, the resilience builder. And I think we start with that thing. We start that one thing. And the motive, like I said, like you don't need motivation, because motivation will happen naturally once you see you getting more towards a life that you actually wanted by doing the asks, by doing the bold moves, by being a different person, by becoming that. The only way we become something is to act as if, or to feel this idea and change the conversation in your head to a why not me mentality. You know, look at somebody who you admire and think, don't think, oh, lucky them. How did they do that? I mean, you got to think, you know what? Good for them, but I can, but why not me? I'm not any, most people in life, almost everybody, we're all the same. There's no one who's better or worse. There really isn't. I mean, I've talked to the best in the world on my podcast. I mean, literally everybody. And the truth is, the through line really is that nobody seems to be any better or any worse. The only difference is some people believed in themselves more than others and just went for it over and over and over again, regardless of what the circumstances were. Really, you know what I mean? It wasn't because they necessarily had more money or more better looks or smarter. It was that they actually just went for it and believed in themselves and thought to themselves, well, why not me? Like, what's the worst that can happen? Like, it's the conversation in our brains that stop us from really living the life we really want, right? And it's not affirmations that get us from point A to point B. Telling yourself, I'm great, I'm amazing, that's just nonsense, okay? The way to really get to like a place of confidence is actually not just saying those things, but having this idea of why not me and going and doing it, doing the thing, attempting the thing, trying for the thing. Like, it's actually like energy expenditure that gets you there, not just visualizing and dreaming. Dreams stay dreams unless there's action involved.
Because that's what I definitely did love in the book, was how all the challenges were short, sharp, snappy. You know, it wasn't like spend 6 months doing this. It was like, what was if you did this? This would open up this. And what if you did this? And, you know, it was filled with so many great things. But you had this really important section on, you know, getting rid of baggage and taking your luggage, about removing all the old programming. And I thought that was beautifully written, because too many people, jealousy, you know, comparison, I want to be like them, but I'll spend a year looking at what they did rather than just try to be it. How do you start analyzing your life to remove these kind of bad habits, to, you know, to get rid of the crabs in the bucket friends who try to pull you back into the comfort zone rather than letting you go out? How do we find our bolder directors? All these different things. How do we kind of start shaping that life?
Well, you know, it's a good point, is because the truth of the matter is the bolder directors is a very important piece of this. Bolder directors, and what you're referring to for people who are listening, is the idea I write about, is that you have to create a bold of directors, people around you that want to see you succeed, or who are like-minded like you, who have the same goals of their life. They don't have to be the same goals as you, like specific, but who have the same mindset, growth mindset that you have, who want to see you win. Are you familiar with a saying called Schadenfreude?
Yes, but it's not working in my head there.
So
Schadenfreude, the misery of others.
Yes. Yeah, so Schadenfreude is basically the theory that people enjoy seeing the misery in other people. And quite frankly, I've done a lot of research on this, is, you know, that's actually very common. And it's not even necessarily because people are mean-natured by nature. It's because people project, or if people want to be around other people who don't make them feel bad about their lives or themselves. So if you're having a bad situation happen to you, psychologically, it makes the other person feel better about themselves, right? So a lot of people, that's what they say, like, misery enjoys company, right? So this idea is to be around people who lift you up, who encourage you, who are, like I said, like-minded, who want to see you win, and you help each other get to where you need to be. And a lot of times people are telling other people about their big dream, telling small-minded people about their big dreams in life, which is a big mistake, because they will shoot you down because they can't see that for themselves. So they don't want you to pursue that. And it's subconscious a lot of times. So be careful of who you tell your dreams to. Be careful of who you surround yourself with, because that is your, these are the people that are going to either lift you or bring you down. We are a sum of the five people we are around the most. So when I talk about this bold of directors, it's about making sure, trying to find a group of people that help encourage and build you to get the courage, to get the confidence, or to attempt, or who help you with their contacts or whatever it is to be the person, self-actualize. That's what it's about.
So, say,
and you do this. I mean,
I was going to say, like, say we had 6 weeks just now, and somebody listening was thinking, right, she's motivated me. I'm going to get a copy of the book. I'm going to go out there and smash this world. How do we start using the book then to start? Do we use these prompts as ways to look at life? Do we stop and kind of analyze a chapter and then try to improve that in our work? Then a chap look at a relationship next. How do we start implementing this in our life? Because I'd love to get you back on and really go into the research and like focus on the education side of things as well. But I know we're tight for time, but how would you want somebody to use the book to become bold? What would you want to see them doing in a month or 6 weeks? Or, you know, like say if they came back to you on the podcast and said, your book changed my life. What sort of things, habits, skills, just strategies would you want them to be using going forward using the book?
Well, the book has a workbook in the at the end of it that people can use to help build their bold muscle. So they should follow the workbook. That's the first part. But I would think that every principle does a couple things. Every principle reframes an idea that how someone should think and act in their life to become more bold. And then we give them a couple of exercises that they can attempt to be that way. And the idea behind that is this is like a really good boost and, you know, push in the bold direction, right? And that's the idea. I want them to use the book as a reference and as a workbook of how to be and how to get there and how to become more bold. And it's not something that happens definitely overnight, but you can definitely become bolder like in an hour by reading my book, right? Hopefully it will inspire you to think differently, to think and have different conversations and in your brain, like having these philosophies, like, you know what, yeah, she's not wrong, like, why not me, you know, like, I'm no different than Joe, you know, I just have to, the only difference is, yeah, like, he's so, you know, he's aggressive and he asked that question or he went there. Like, I'll say, like, I tell people all the time, put yourself in places where you don't think you belong, where you don't belong. Do things that make you uncomfortable. All these things help expand your brain and notice and see the world a little bit different and not be so myopic. Because the only, like I said, this is not rocket science. This is just me telling somebody. I'm no better than you are or you are or you are. The only difference is, I reframed ideologies and thoughts in my head, and then I acted accordingly. And I want everyone to do the same thing. Like, what's the worst that can happen? Why not you? You know, ask for the salad dressing on the side. You know, ask your cell service company if there's a cheaper plan after 5 years of being with them. Like, all these things accumulate and compound.
Because that's what I love about the book. You know, you just say straight out, anybody can do this. It doesn't matter where you are, your intelligence, your age, you can find a way of doing it, and it'll open up this. It's like a video game map. The more you do it, the more you get to explore and see in the world. And
yes,
I love the way that in the book, you just, every page has a thought-provoking sort of question or a task or a mission, and you kind of come back and go, yeah, why don't I do that? And before you know it, you're in, it's, I think you call it bundling your bold by pulling it all together.
I love that you read the book.
Oh, I have pages and pages of questions on each principle, and so I'd love to have you back on. But for this, what would you want us to remember about this? You know, how would you want us to think of being bold, of having that bold lifestyle, what it can achieve? Because too many people are, nah, yeah, good enough. And now you're maybe getting people getting a bit more motivated to change. What would you want them to take from this going forward?
I want them to take that, like, the idea is, like, imagine living a life that you actually want to live versus living the life that you were given and acquiescing to what was available. Just because something was available isn't enough of a reason to just take that. The life is big, and there's a lot, the world is big, and the onus is on you to create the life and design and curate the life that you actually want in every way. And I will also like to say that people should take a look at their life, because a lot of times we can be very bold in one area and not so bold in another area. And a great place to start is to kind of take that assessment of where you're not being bold and start in that area. We could be super, a lot of people could be super professionally super bold, but personally not that bold, and just date whoever asks them out, or just accepts, you know, having a relationship that's pretty not serving them, but they don't want to stand up for it. They think that they convince themselves that this is, you know, the best that they can have, or that, you know, people justify a lot. A lot of times it's not just in the professional, it can be in the personal. So pick an area and then work on being more bold in that specific area. And then, you know what I mean? Versus an overhaul of everything.
And in the book, you do mention your, I think it's your friend Grant, who became more bold when he was in a relationship. Jennifer Hudson, I think, is another great example. Who else do you think are good examples of being bold? Because I look at, like, Henry Cavill, who is leaving a franchise that he built, you know, multi-million pound franchise, because he doesn't like the way the show's not using the source material. Now he's going from different, like, Superman off to The Witcher. Now he's potentially going to be James Bond, and he just seems to roll with it, but living life on his terms. Same like with Tom Hardy, for example. Who do you see as being great examples of living the bold lifestyle?
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody in the book that I mention are people that I think. And then the truth of the matter is, there are a lot of people that you just don't know. I can name them to you, but you won't know who they are. You know, I can say Terry Smith, but she doesn't mean anything to you. So I think that the truth is, a lot of people I know who are living very boldly aren't famous or well-known. And they are people that I look to, who I think are really inspirational, who, like I wrote about Tamar in the book, right? Like, she really inspires me, the way she, her perspective on life and all the struggles and trials that she's gone through. And yet she still decided, she made a decision that she was going to live a life a certain way and be bold in that way. So I think that it's all very subjective. And I think that it doesn't even matter what other people are doing. It matters how you feel about yourself and what you're doing. You know where you are falling short and where you could show up better for yourself. Mm-hmm. And it's about taking that ownership and doing something about it.
Love it. I think we're just touching the surface and all this. So got to do a round two in the future. But how can people follow this? How can we get a copy of the book? How can we, you know, follow you on social media, your website? Because you're killing life. You're doing all these amazing things. How do we follow this journey you're on?
You're so sweet. Well, they can buy the book, I think, on Amazon or Barnes. I don't know if you have Barnes & Noble there, but Amazon UK should have it. Do they? I'm sure.
Yeah.
They can listen to my podcast, Habits and Hustle. They could subscribe to my newsletter, which is free. Go to jennifercohen.com and get little bold. You can get little bold snippets of how to be more bold weekly with the newsletter. They can follow me on Instagram. I mean, all the things, you know what I mean? All the things.
Well, that's it for another week. And thank you for listening. It's now time to take what you've learned and use it to develop and enhance your life with the key points mentioned. Listen, try it, embrace it, use it, and crush it. Now's your time to hit that next level in your life. If you liked this episode, then please leave a comment on the show notes or a review of the show on your podcast platform. Everything helps evolve the show. Until next week, keep seeking the next level in your life.